This just in, the hosts of this show are not financial advisors. We're just not. No matter how we wish we were, it ain't gonna happen. And that's why it's good fortune that we've happened upon Tim Picciotte. He's a living, breathing financial advisor who specializes in the crypto space. What are the odds? I mean, come on. And today, Tim joins us to share his thoughts on crypto investing. Listen to him. Don't listen to us. Well, listen to us when we're asking questions or cracking bad dad jokes, but that's all. So we're pleased to welcome a real financial advisor to the show for episode number 346 of the Bad Crypto Podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition.
Who's bad?
Do you know, Mr. Travis Wright, we have had the very same intro music on this podcast since episode number one.
That is 100% the truth. We literally created that. We go, let's make a podcast. We're like, well, we don't have any intro music. Let's do that. That was like one of the first things we did together. It was like, okay, well, we got to have intro music.
I can't imagine changing it now. It's woven into the fabric. It's like the Republic of Bad Cryptopia national anthem.
Yeah. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Who's bad? Yeah, but you guys already heard that earlier, so you don't need to hear it again. This is unnecessary banter.
That's Travis Wright. I'm Joel Kalm, and welcome to the Bad Crypto Podcast. Duck, duck, going all the things so that you don't have to. Heard around the world with over 8 million downloads. We're glad you're here, and we've got a great interview with Mr. Tim Picciotte today. I didn't know what to expect, as I often don't, you know, with many of the people we speak to, and this dude is a wealth of information. You're going to want to hang on every single word he says. Don't hang on our words, though, as we told you before. You can kind of fall off our words, but hang on his. But hang on, before we start, we want to give a shout out to MobiPay. The wallet is coming, gang. MobiPay.io. Check out this universal payment ecosystem. Mr. Travis Wright and myself are advisors. Our whole team are advisors on this. They won the Token Tank pitch competition at World Crypticon, and they have figured out a couple things that are really unique. The wallet, through their payment token MobiCoin, is going to connect fiat and digital currencies all from your mobile phone, and they are going to get ready to announce some major partnerships that we think are pretty epic and will be a step towards mainstream adoption of crypto. Check it out for yourself. Make your own decisions. MobiPay.io, where you can get some free MBX tokens from our friend Brandon and MobiPay.
Let's talk to Timmy.
Timmy! Neither Mr. Travis Wright nor myself are financial advisors, but the good news is we have a real bona fide financial advisor in the house and a crypto wealth advisor. He's both in one. His name is Tim Picciotte, and he is the president of Crypto Self-Direct. Tim, welcome to Bad Crypto.
Thanks, guys. It's awesome being on the show, and thank you for having me.
Well, you don't know if it's going to be awesome yet. I mean, it might just be all right.
It might be bad, so.
It might be bad.
Yeah.
Well, that's expected, actually. If it's not bad, then we're in false advertising to our fans all these episodes.
Yeah, we don't want false advertising.
All right, let's go, Mr. Picciotte. Bring your A game, brother.
Tim has been in crypto wealth management arena for many moons. He understands the challenges that Bitcoin early adopters have faced, and he helps them to not get killed by taxes. You've been interviewed all over the place. This is interesting. In the bio, you're an Ironman triathlon finisher. You are Ironman. And you've been interviewed all over the place. You have much to say about the crypto realm. So when did you first get introduced to cryptocurrency?
Well, yeah, I first started getting introduced probably in 2011, right around the time it was a dollar. I was in the Daily Paul forums from the Ron Paul Revolution days, and it was right around the time I probably read Creature from Jekyll Island. So I know that's a book that, you know, a lot of people in the space are aware of. I know, Travis, I've heard you mention it before, that helped get you down the rabbit hole. So I heard about it early on, did not do the full deep dive initially, on it because I thought, you know, the odds of it kind of breaking outside of the, you know, crypto anarchist circles would be relatively slim. But I don't know if you want to kind of give like the background of, because I have a pretty interesting story of how I kind of got all in into all this. And so I don't know if you want me to get into that or if...
get into it. It's going to be good.
Yeah. So a crazy thing is I graduated in 2008. My first day on the job was actually the day Lehman Brothers crashed. So, you know, welcome to the business. You're in finance. It's September 15, 2008. The stock market was down, you know, almost 700 points. And meanwhile, I was told in school, you know, which is, you know, just an indoctrination center that, you know, there's no more crashes left. And, you know, everything that the Fed has done, you know, post the dot-com era that, you know, there's going to be no more recessions. And here I was taking a class on the Federal Reserve, where my classmates actually won the national competition against like Harvard, Yale, MIT, being told we couldn't have any more recessions while we were technically in a recession. So, you know, fast forward, you know, the crash happens in 2008. And one day I meet a guy who sort of looks like Rob Zombie, you know, like the heavy metal singer. Mm-hmm. And he's telling me that the Federal Reserve is private. And I'm thinking, hey, you know, you're full of crap. I mean, I've got a Series 7, Series 66, was on the class that won the national competition, was running my school's endowment fund and had the best track record in America. AKA, we lost the least amount of money that year. Mm-hmm. And I had this guy who looks like Rob Zombie and is a painter telling me the Fed's private. Go down
the road. You're like, aha, whatever, loser.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, listen, I'm going to prove you wrong in 2 seconds. Next thing I know, I ended up watching the documentary Freedom to Fascism. That then led me to my girlfriend, who now wife at the time, bought me the book Creature from Jekyll Island. She's like, that will shut you up. And then I realized after reading that book, I'm like, oh my God, like if I didn't realize that the Federal Reserve is private, who else realizes that the Fed is private?
They don't teach that stuff. They don't teach that in school. That's like, oh, by the way, yeah, you don't need to know about any of this.
Yeah, and I was on the class that won the national competition against this that was like in the inside track of this and have classmates who...
And you guys didn't even know it. That's great. That's wild. That is amazing to me.
And it was actually called In Fed We Trust was the actual tagline or moniker that we had in the class. And so I thought, you know, this was absolutely crazy. And then, you know, I started, you know, I was heavily involved in the Ron Paul campaign. I watched how, you know, the Republicans went and screwed him. And then I started getting into Iron Man, which, you know, Joel had read off, and I kind of, you know, went away for a little bit, then got heavily involved in the 2016 election. I mean, actually, 2 days from now will be the anniversary of, I had a fake news list that actually went viral. So I'm saying that I'm basically the first person to appropriate that term. And then Facebook basically shut me down after that, got the shadow ban big time, lots of other political things. And then after that political season wrapped up, I decided, or one of my good friends, which you guys were on his show earlier today, Ernest Hancock, eventually kept pounding me like, hey, you need to look into the Bitcoin, you need to look into Bitcoin. And then all of a sudden—
What year was this, would you say?
This was right after the election, so 2016. And and so it wasn't really Bitcoin because I had known about Bitcoin and known, you know, I didn't do the full deep dive on it. But then I heard about Ethereum and heard and all of a sudden I was like, holy crap, you can actually build stuff on this. There's more stuff you can do with this than just trade fake money back and forth. And you could have stock markets on this and you can have land titling and all this other things. And all of a sudden my brain sort of, you know, exploded. And I started, you know, researching everything I could. And before I bought my first Bitcoin, I mean, I could tell you what the Merkle tree was and went down the whole freaking rabbit hole, everything. And actually, it's funny because I went to the largest Phoenix, you know, over-the-counter crypto dealer, local Bitcoin guy. I was supposed to meet with him April 21st. He ends up getting arrested April 20th. Actually, just got out of jail a few days ago.
It was like a weed bust or something?
No, it was, they wanted to get him on, they wanted to get him on that stuff, which is why they went after him on 420, you know, April 20th. They ended up finding like 60 stray bullets, which in Arizona, I mean, you should get in trouble for only having 60 bullets, but he was a prior felon. And so anyway, long story short, he ended up going to jail. And so I didn't end up buying it through him. And I believe for listening to you guys' show.
Now I got
to
tell you, man, buying Bitcoin through criminals, I'm telling you. Bitcoin,
well,
the crypto,
because he was in jail. That's right. Or he was waiting trial, I guess, at that point.
Crazy.
But anyways, that's a whole nother show and would be probably an interesting guest later on in the road. But so then, you know, we're going through this whole process. I realize this is way more. I end up, I'm at a pool party at Ernest Hancock's house, who you guys know him earlier today. And he
stumbled in there like, oh, wow, look, it's that dude who's got that radio show.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, you know, Tim, you know, you're a hardcore crypto or you're a hardcore libertarian kind of guy, financial advisor. We need you to figure out how to get Bitcoin into the economy without getting killed on taxes. Long story short, within a week, I made the connections and talked to the foundation guys to be able to do that. I'll tease the audience a little bit later on. So when Charlie Lee supposedly, quote unquote, sold his Litecoin, he didn't actually sell his Litecoin. He sold it to his own charitable trust. And I'm going to tell you guys how he did that. So this is news that not a lot of people really know. So when, you know, this whole like, oh, I sold it to, you know, leave my conscience and all the, you know, conflicts of interest. I mean, that's all BS because I know, you know, what he really did. But anyways, yeah. So fast forward, I end up going to the Nexus Earth conference, which is where I sat next to Mr. Travis Wright during the Max Kaiser taping. That was my first crypto conference. I think it was my first crypto conference as well.
That was interesting.
Yeah, no, that was interesting. I got some
good. You did seem familiar to me. I'm not sure exactly where, but I knew that you seemed familiar.
Yes. So a little bit familiar. So anyways, I'm actually there with Ernie, rooming with him. Roger Veer asked me, he's like, does he let you sleep? Yeah, he did let me sleep because I know he's a fan of talking. So he was supposed to give me 10 minutes at the end of his presentation to give my spiel on all this deal. And if you know anything about Ernie, the guy likes to talk a lot. And so I didn't get the 10 minutes because he actually ended up going over his segment. And next thing we know, people were asking me about crypto IRAs and how to do that. I had no idea. Long story short, I ended up partnering with a guy who specialized in that arena. And, now we're into January and, I'm like Anarchast and getting invited to speak at Anarchapoco and, trying to convince, the most hardcore guys to sell in January 2018 when it was at the top and, pretty much getting laughed at. Then the broker dealer that I was with, and this is when things start getting interesting, they banned every advisor in America, 17,000 of them, from talking about Bitcoin because all of a sudden now it was on the radar and everyone knew what it was.
When was this?
This was January of 2017. So right at the peak. Like,
and so somewhere with the organization that's in charge of the CFPs, the certified financial planners, they said you guys can't talk about crypto?
It wasn't that. So that's a designation that I have. But the company I was with at the time was LPL Financial, the largest independent broker dealer in America. Okay, PL stands for private ledger. So, I mean, you can understand why they'd be threatened by a public ledger. I mean, just so they banned everyone. I was, I'm a man of my word. I was like, this is crazy. I'm not 5 years old. I don't need someone telling me that I can't advise clients who got into Bitcoin early how they can diversify out in a tax efficient manner. Like, I'm not 10 years old, guys. So I ended up, in order for me to speak at Anarchapoco, I ended up paying a $17,000 fine, had to leave the organization, had to drop my Series 7 license, had to move all my clients from one firm to another. Then what I didn't realize that the state of Arizona at the time, they decided not to approve my paperwork for about 8 months, which basically made me unemployed for almost the entire year last year.
Oh, man.
So I definitely have got, people are like, oh, you're in it for the money. Well, this was about $500,000 hit it cost me to do this. I've definitely, paid my dues in terms of, taking a lot of the arrows, but now I've got to practice.
Dude, you could actually write a blues song if you'd like. You're qualified now, it sounds like.
I just need to know how to sing. So I was just in Nashville 2 weeks ago, but yeah, I can't carry a tune. That's not one of my,
dang,
my talents.
What a story.
Yeah. So I knew, I had a compelling story of how I, got into all this, but now, I don't know if you guys want me to kind of transition into, how I'm helping people in the crypto space.
You don't even need us here. Just roll with
That's
it.
True.
We're just window dressing.
Yeah. He says other dude likes to talk. Seems like this guy likes to talk too.
Tim's the talker. Go
talk
ahead, Tim.
Away, Timmy.
Well, I know that we were running late on time because I know my technological faults couldn't figure out the other system. So that's why we're running quick here.
I'll tell you when it's time to shut up. Go for it.
All right. So, yeah. So what we've got going on is we realized, hey, there's a bunch of people who made a bunch of money in crypto. And this was actually before the run-up. So this was right around the time of the Bitcoin Cash fork. So, I mean, Bitcoin was probably about, $3,000 at the time, give or take. So I'm at Ernie's pool party and he's like, hey, we got a bunch of rich crypto guys here. And so I figured out this, basically this whole game plan. But what you can do is this does not work for everybody. 99% of people in the crypto, this is not going to work for. But what you can essentially do is the sweet spot for this is somebody that's a little bit older, that they bought crypto early on. And what they can do is they can actually sell their crypto to a charitable trust. It bypasses all capital gains. Then they get a tax break on top of bypassing all capital gains. And then they can then pay themselves. And the amount they can pay themselves is going to vary depending on their age and if there's a wife and all a bunch of different circumstances. But, some of these guys who are like 60, 65 years old can take out, 10, 11, 12% per year, depending on what the algorithm allows them to take out. So then the money gets donated to a charitable trust. charitable trust then gets paid to you as a donor. And then the caveat, or the catch here, is that upon your passing, the money has to go to a charitable organization. So people just create their own charitable organizations. And instead of having money going to the IRS, it ends up going to foundations to help, you know, promote whatever it is you want to promote, and you know, whether it's freedom or some sort of, you know, activism that's out there. And then the other thing we do,
I like
is
to promote my kids. It's the My Kids Foundation. And they're literally my kids, two of them. I can have that be a charitable fund. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'll say talk to your own financial advisor first, but and all the usual caveats. But there are people doing a lot of interesting things where they have, you know, I've seen people with like these off-grid farms and you know, now they're, you know, on the hydroponic and our aquaponics, and it basically, you know, their family now has this like off-grid redoubt, you know, for the, you know, the rest of, you know, eternity, as long as the, you know, the trust can, you know, doesn't go bankrupt and is able to pay for all this.
Hey, we don't talk about hydroponics on this show. This is not that kind of podcast.
Yeah, we already talked about arresting someone on 420, so I thought maybe we could go.
All right, I want to hear the actual example. You're talking about, you know, putting in the donating to the crypto trust, and you're saying this is what Charlie Lee did, that he actually didn't sell his Litecoin and pocket the money, that he don't go, just tell the story. What happened, and how do you know that this is what happened?
So when I was at World CryptoCon last year, because I was listening to your, actually the very first show I ever listened to you guys, it was when you guys had a crypto lawyer on, and at the very end, Travis like, oh shoot, I should have asked him about crypto trust. And then I tried getting a hold of you guys for a while, and now here I am talking about crypto trust. But I was at World CryptoCon last year, and Charlie Lee was right in front of me, and there was about a dozen people around me, so it wasn't, you know, necessarily like in confidence, because there's a whole bunch of people around me. And I said, hey Charlie, I read your statement, and your statement when you sold your Litecoin says you sold and or donated your Litecoin. I'm going to take a stab at what you really did. And then he then confirmed that that's what he did, and then he was using a whole bunch of, you know, inside baseball and the lingo, and I knew that he wasn't just pulling my chain, that is what he did based upon how he was, you know, this is a very high level concept that even most financial advisors are not going to have any idea what, you know, what we're talking about. And so Charlie, you know, being the, you know, one of Coinbase's first employees, being a former Googler, very smart guy. And, you know, he knows what's up. So he could, I don't know for a fact if he, so what he could have done is he could have sold it to the trust and kept some of it in Litecoin. I don't know the details of what he did inside of there, but he could have kept it all in Litecoin if you wanted to. Or what he probably did was he probably kept some in there, then probably divested out, and then he could diversify while not triggering capital gains. And then the other component of this to make sure your family's better off is use like the crap load of tax savings you just got from not paying capital gains, is use, you know, a small portion of that to buy a life insurance, put that in a special type of trust, and now your family gets a tax-free death benefit that doesn't even count towards estate taxes. And it's really like the level 500 of like the, you know, when all these rich, super rich guys are up there saying, you know, you need to raise my taxes or we're not paying enough. It's because they all have these setups, all the Bill Gates of the world and Warren Buffett's, you know, so it drives me nuts. Like when I hear Elizabeth Warren talking about all these tax programs, because it's going to make my business skyrocket if she gets in there. So maybe instead of promoting Trump, I should have been promoting her the whole time, because, you know, sort of done the opposite to it. But yeah, you have a framework where, you know, you put your money into these trusts, you get paid the income. And then there's all sorts of other, you know, level 500 financial planning stuff that you can do to make everyone except for the IRS better off. And, you know, don't hate the player, hate the game. I didn't make up the rules. And this is something that's been going on for a long time, and people just don't know, you know, the options that are available to them. But it's not, but it's really only good for like seven figure type crypto gains, or hey, you got in early, because you got to take out a certain percentage. So let's say you put in $1 million and you're taking 6% off, that's $60,000 a year. But if you're trying to defer, you know, like $5,000 worth of gains, it's going to be way more trouble than what it's worth. And so, you know, there are caveats. It's not going to work for everybody. You know, if you guys go to my website, you'll see more information on that. Although my website is going through compliance changes right now, because being the, you know, libertarian anarchist type of guy, I didn't get approval for everything I did.
So if you're super crypto rich, you need to give Tim here contact. And
the website is thelibertyadvisor.com, right?
It is. Yeah. And
and tell them Bad Crypto sent you, and then Timmy will, like, you know, maybe give us a hookup.
Timmy, yeah, hey. There's some errors being thrown on your site right now. Just so you know.
I just texted my website guy, being like, I'm on one of the largest crypto podcasts in the world, and half an hour before, and you guys are messing things.
Well, the good news is it's not live. You've got time, because this is being recorded, and we're editing out all the dumb things you're saying, so people can't hear them. They're just hearing the smart things.
So they'll hear like 5 seconds of me.
No, no, we recorded you saying test 800 times. We're just going to play that.
It's going to be great. It
doesn't have to be on loop because you've already got so much material.
Yeah, so true. They're all unique. So we've had conversations on here about, you know, crypto is like a token and it's not equity in a company. And then, you know, now they're having this, the STOs, sort of, you know, those type of things. Like, how do you see the future with crypto and stocks? Because it seems like it's inevitably going to become like securities plus that, where like the token is equity in the company and it's worth little pieces, right, or something. It's the digitization and tokenization of companies and stock, is that something you foresee?
Oh, absolutely. And the first time that I foresaw this was actually the news actually broke on an Ernest Hancock show of T-Zero, which T-Zero is a platform that at one point Patrick Byrne was a part of, but then he had to...
Wait, Ernest Hancock, he just interviewed us this morning.
Yep. And so the news for T-Zero broke on his show because he's, you know, pretty good boys with Patrick Byrne. Mm-hmm. Patrick's not a part of that anymore. But what essentially that was an aha moment, because I was thinking to myself, wait, if you could have the stock market traded through the blockchain instead of, let's say, buying the S&P 500, you know, index fund, which, you know, for those of you out there that don't know what an index fund is, that's instead of buying, you know, one individual stock, you might buy the entire large cap stocks sector or the entire small cap. So you're not picking and choosing winners and losers. You're just buying everything. And so what is going on now, if you buy that, you're going to buy, you know, one of the major ones that's out there offered by one of, you know, I'm an advisor, I can't actually mention the ones, otherwise I'm going to give disclaimers. But so what I think is going to happen in the future is you can actually buy all 500 individual stocks. And because it's going to the blockchain, it might cost next to nothing to do that. And the benefit of that is now when you actually go to let's say 10-20% of those stocks have lost money throughout the year, now you can cherry pick those ones off and it will cost next to nothing to do. Whereas today you can't really effectively do that, because at $5 a trade buying the S&P 500, you're looking at $2,500 just in trading fees, let alone you know, anything else. So I do see, and I see trading fees also are going down to zero. And TD Ameritrade just brought their fees down to zero for you know, a lot of their different assets on their platform. But I do see this is where everything is going. And instead of buying, and I did hear your episode where you had Patrick on your show, and you know, and he had mentioned that, you know, it's probably a ways down the road before you get to the point of, hey, I want to trade my, you know, token of Apple stock for your Litecoin. You know, that, because of regulations, that's probably going to be a while before they, you know, allow that sort of thing. But, you know, allowing that thing and then having that thing where they can't stop it, you know, are probably two separate things. But I do see that is where the, that is where everything is going, is that it's a much more efficient system. It's, you know, it's more efficient for the companies. They'll make more money. It's better for the consumer. I mean, why do we have to go wait, you know, 2 days to go get, you know, go get a stock after it's been traded, or three? Or why do we have to only do it on, you know, we can't do it on weekends? I mean, this is crap that you've got, you know, markets that are way bigger than the Bitcoin market or crypto market, and yet we've got to, you know, only trade during these few hours. And so I think that the...
Well, those are the working hours, Tim. Come on. Those are... It's the way it's been. The way it is. Deal with it.
You whippersnapper? Yeah.
You know, I heard I watched a video just recently with Max Keiser talking about the repo markets, and he was being interviewed and said that China is going to release their crypto backed by $2 billion or so in gold that they've, more than that, that they've been stashing, and that is going to collapse the U.S. dollar. What are your thoughts on that happening, and if it does happen, the results?
Well, luckily I did see that interview, so that always helps.
And he gets fired up. I mean, Max, he starts yelling and rah, rah, rah.
Yeah, maybe it's because his real name is actually Timothy. But anyways, yeah, with Max, I don't actually think, I mean, I think China has been hoarding gold. I think they do have a lot of gold. Now, whether or not they're going to come out and say, hey, boom, we've got, I forgot the amount that he used, like 20,000 tons or 10,000 tons.
Yeah, 20,000 tons.
So let's say it was 20,000 tons. I don't think that we are China is really in a position to necessarily checkmate us right now, that they probably want to get some of their own military might in there, and they want to maybe develop some more bombs or some more, you know, laser guided missiles before they start, you know, pulling out the big guns. And so I think that is where I see, I wouldn't be surprised if they do have some sort of, you know, cryptocurrency. You know, Ernie would call it the Fed.gov coin, but in this case, it'd be the, you know, the I guess Chinese version of that. And so I see them in China. They're going to probably marry their social credit score up with their digital currency. And now they're going to track, trace, and surveil everything that you do. And if they see you walking across the street grinning wrong, then they're going to cut off your access, which is the same reason why nobody wants to use, you know, Facebook's Libra coin. I mean, I was getting 1,200 new subscribers a day, and then I went from 1,200 to literally negative 10 the next day because I pissed them off saying stuff. And I've been negative ever since. So the first 2 years I had a page, first 2 months, I had over 30,000 subscribers. And afterwards, I've got less today than I did 3 years ago. And that's not to talk about me. That's to talk about why are we going to trust these centralized financial institutions? Mm-hmm. You know where it's going to go. And with China, I absolutely see them, you know, eventually doing that. I don't think it's right around the corner. I know they do have like a gold back yuan that they were doing with oil about a year and a half ago. But our own repo market is going absolutely crazy. And not sure if that's an area that you guys want me to go into, but that's one of the, I guess my specialties is talking about the Federal Reserve and discount window and all sort of try to make a lot of the most boring topics possible somewhat interesting over here. So not quite as interesting as Max, but I don't know if you want me to kind of get into some of the Federal Reserve stuff that's going on today. And it's just absolutely nuts.
You just need your own show. I mean, you know,
he's got a YouTube channel that over the last 3 years, they've been killing him.
I mean, we're just here as window dressing, honestly.
That's true. You're doing a great job.
Have a show on World Alternative Media YouTube page, Liberty Advisor Show, and Crypto Wealth Show. So I do have some experience doing this sort of stuff.
That's great.
But when it comes to the Federal Reserve,
yeah, what's up with the Fed? We're fed up. You fed up with them?
So fed
absolutely,
up.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm absolutely fed up. But what people when they hear of the discount window, or they hear of the Fed funds rate, all that Fed funds rate really means is the rate of which, if you were to go to the Federal Reserve and borrow money from them, how much it would cost. But in actuality, that is not what actually happens in day-to-day banking business. What happens is the market hypothetically sets rates, and the banks, let's say if you're Bank of America and you've got 9% reserves, and you're Goldman Sachs and you've got 11% reserves, I'm just making up these numbers, and you need to have 10% reserves, what will happen is Goldman Sachs will say, we've got an extra one, we'll lend it to Bank of America overnight, and we'll charge you, you know, usually it's going to be around like whatever the Fed funds rate is. So let's call it 2%. What happened is in the middle of September or late August last month, what happened is all of a sudden banks were charging each other 10% to borrow money overnight. But what's even more shocking about that is that banks were actually paying 10% to borrow money overnight, rather when they could have just gone to the Federal Reserve and gotten it at the time between 2 and 2.25%, which was what the Fed funds discount rate is. So that rate that everybody talks about is only the rate when you go to the discount window, but nobody goes to the discount window because if you go to the discount window, it means that you're in trouble. And so banks would rather pay 10% five times the going rate than have to admit that it's almost like a sort of like scarlet letter that's on you.
Wow.
Like, hey, you've got to, you know, take the short bus or something.
Shame.
And it just came out the other day that the Fed is not going to release for 2 years, the actual, people that are coming right now to borrow, you know, like the hundreds of billions of dollars that are being lent out in the repo market. So we have basically nationalized the overnight repo market. This is not capitalism at all. It's a crony capitalist, borders on communist type system. And then unfortunately,
they're just draining wealth and future wealth and devaluing the currency in untold ways because we're not even going to know who these people are. Now, have you read the book the Everything Bubble, or familiar with that title?
I have not, but I had a podcast where I labeled it the Everything Bubble, so I could probably.
Yeah, there's a dude. He wrote the Everything Bubble. It's like the end game of the central banking policy. And I would highly recommend it because really when you think about like where we are and where we've been, it's like this bubble that we're in now, it's like it's added the real estate bubble, the stock market bubble, the auto bubble, the corporate credit bubble, stocks and indexing and derivatives is all in this big, huge bubble right now. And with this fiat currency system, that's in just inflationary beyond anything we've ever seen. And like, it seems like the end game is getting near, and the blockchain solutions and the sovereign currencies like the digital yuan and this other stuff that's going on, it just seems like the timing of this is almost like there's some chess going on or something.
Yeah. And unfortunately, one of my biggest fears, and, you know, going back to the book Creature from Jekyll Island, you had Paul Warburg, who was, you know, from the play Annie, he was Daddy Warbucks, and he was the creator of the Federal Reserve System and said, we shall have a one world government. It's only a matter if it's through consent or conquest. And so they tried the conquest route with, you know, with all the World War Ones and Twos. But now what they want to do is eventually get people to beg for the solution. So a lot of our listeners here have probably seen that, you know, the horrors of what socialism has done, but yet they want to go beg for more socialism to go quote unquote fix what has already happened to the system. So unfortunately, I think crypto can be used to be the mark of the beast system if, you know, if the wrong people start embracing, like, let's say a Libra coin, or they start embracing, you know, like a, you know, a, hey, this makes it super easy. We've got the Fed
document. Like a, oh, like the World Bank with those special drawing rights and the different things and how they tokenize value on all this stuff. And so sort of in one big ecosystem, it's, it is very frightening what it could happen potentially when, because I don't care, you don't say if anymore, when this current fiat currency backed system collapses and the new thing gets changed, is the Phoenix. I mean, it is, it could go either way. It could go authoritarian, it could go, you know, better for civilization, but it's going to be interesting to see, because once that thing gets locked down, it's going to be hard to break out of that next system if it's actually sort of authoritarian.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It's going to be impossible to break out of it. And I'm glad you brought up the SDR, the special drawing right. And actually, if you take a look at the underlying composition of Libra, it almost mirrors it exactly. And I came out with a show on World Alternative Media the day before the white paper was released for Libra, predicting, the video is called, Is Libra the New SDR? And then the very next day, they released the underlying composition, almost identical. And so for the people listening right now, the special drawing right is how the Bank of International Settlements is a central bank of the central banks, and it's how they keep track of unit of accounts between each other. But roughly off the top of my head, it's about 50% dollar, US dollar, probably about 20-30% euro, you know, 10% yen, a little bit, maybe like 5% of the, you know, renminbi, and then a few other currencies sprinkled in here or there. That's roughly what the Libra was. And yeah, and if they are able to get this, marry it with social credit score, it could be absolutely awful. And not sure how many people, and this is getting into some more conspiratorial stuff, but if you take a look at who was the first, you know, backers of Blockstream, which Blockstream were the ones who funded Core Development, it was the company called AXA, AXA, major French insurance conglomerate. It was actually the first company I ever interviewed for, so I know them very well. Turns out that the head of AXA at the time was Henry de Castries. Henry de Castries was also the head of the Bilderberg Group. So you've got literally the head of the Bilderberg Steering Committee was his organization was the one who provided $70 million to Blockstream to help get the core developers funded. Mm. Now, whether or not that's, you know, how much.
And when was that? When was that Blockstream deal?
I want to say it was like 2014, but I would need to pre-search that or DuckDuckGo that. So yeah. I'm not sure.
So conspiratorial.
It's just the facts. It's actually, anyone can go search it out.
I think what it is we live in a very prosperous nation and society, and people just assume that things are just going to go on the way they always have, not realizing how much things have changed. I mean, how much the value of a dollar has dropped. You know, when I used to collect comic books when I was a little boy, and I have some of those, they're 15 cents. Some of them 12 cents. You know, as a 10-year-old, I was probably paying 20 maybe. And now you go buy a new comic book, they're going to cost $4 or $5 and fewer pages and smaller books. If you can't see the writing on the wall here, then you're choosing to be ignorant or you're just blind.
Yeah. And those people are not going to actually hear this podcast, because the people who are listening, they're the ones that's tuned on and tuned in. The ones that aren't tuned on and tuned in, they're not even the ones that are going to even think about.
But that's why those who are listening need to turn their friends and family on. Say, hey, you know what? Take a little bit of time and listen to this, and then come talk to me and ask me questions. Tell me if you think it's crazy, or tell me if, you know, there's something there that you feel like, tell me more about that.
And that thought was only 2 cents, but that was that's my bad dad crypto joke, I guess, for coming up. But yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just, unfortunately, you know, it's going to go the way of the mark of the beast, or it's going to go the way of privacy, decentralization. And, you know, my role really in all this is to try to tell people, you know, about the two different paths and to guide them about what I believe is the better path in all this, and probably what most of the listeners of this, you know.
The decentralized private version is going to be like the Rebel Alliance, and they'll be the ones that haven't, you know, pledged their allegiance to the party of the official blockchain, and we're the ones that's, we're the dark arts ones out there that's doing, yeah, you got to watch out.
Pew, pew, pew. Yeah, we're the one going in for the in the Death Star. I forget what's it called, like that one, the one like shaft, where if you hit it like just right, it blows everything up. So right. I don't know if that's like Monero.
We or call that a Skywalker. So this is interesting. You you have said that you might be the first person to coin the phrase fake news. Tell that story.
I will clarify that comment, because so if you go back, and actually we're almost at the exact anniversary of it. So what I guess the genesis of this whole thing is, there's a professor named Melissa Zimdars out of New Hampshire. She came out with a fake news list, which was all like Zero Hedge and InfoWars and Breitbart and, you know, anything that isn't, you know, communist. And it was actually, and then her list came from like a Google think tank from Eric Schmidt about a month before. And so the day she came out with that list, I was this is back when I was still like in heavy trolling mode on Facebook and still able to reach people. I was reaching, you know, I think that week I'd reached like 2 or 3 million people as a nobody from a page I just created 2 months before at the time. And so I saw on Zero Hedge that she had this fake news list, and all of a sudden it was that same day. I go, I'm like, this is, and there was another aha moment. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, you guys are fake news. I'm like, this is the best list. This is the best, basically name I've ever heard of. And so I can actually try to pull up the actual fake news list. But what I did is I'm claiming to be the first person to actually appropriate the term fake news from the left. And so I had a meme that was called fake news list. That's all it was called. Had probably about, you know, 30, 40 different fake news organizations on there, like Snopes, Mother Jones, Vox, CNN, all the usual suspects. What gets really interesting is I only listed one person by name on that entire thing. That one person by name was Paul Krugman. Paul Krugman, a year later, then won Trump's award for most fake news. And so not only did I have fake news appropriated before everybody, that I then also then happened to name the one person by name on there. And I don't know if you guys can see now, but I mean, this was November 17th, 2016, 2.5 months before Trump used it. And the thing is, I'm not claiming to be the first person to string those two words together. I'm just claiming the first person to have it go viral by hijacking that term from.
You're like a prophet. You're like a not-for-profit prophet.
Actually, yeah, no.
Tim, you are fake news. You are not the one who said it. I said it. It's clearly, everyone knows it. Ask anyone.
Yeah, everyone knows. The other thing I claimed was September 2016, I had a 2-minute video that said, listen, if Trump is going to, I think Trump's going to win. And then what he's going to do is they're going to end up blaming it on the Russians. Hillary always blames her adversaries of everything that she's guilty of. Here's all the stuff she's guilty of with the Russians. They're going to blame it on the Russians. September 2016 on video.
The Russians had everything to do with it. We have hacked the election, and now we are hacking this podcast. Welcome to Radio Moscow.
It doesn't matter if we gave Hillary $145 million and if she slept at Vladimir Putin's house.
None of that I think matters. You just like merged Italian with Russian.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's because you're Tim Pachote. So yeah.
Yeah. So we got the fake news going in. Yeah. So
that's right, Tim. Again, you're fake news. I'm telling you, nobody does fake news better than Tim Pachote.
Which I hate when people call me fake news. I'm like, listen, like I basically like invented fake news. You can't
okay,
call me
fake news, Tim. I'm sorry.
It's my biggest pet peeve.
FNT, fake news, Tim.
I'm going to tweet about you right now.
Well, dude, we appreciate you coming on, your patience for getting on the show, because I know we've tried for some time. And people can find you, reach out to you at thelibertyadvisor.com. If you guys want wealth management services, learn about self-directed IRAs, crypto IRAs, crypto estate planning, and investments, all the stuff. Tim knows money. So go check him out, thelibertyadvisor.com. Thanks, Tim.
No, thanks for letting me hang, and I definitely appreciate it. Stay bad, guys.
Good stuff there from Mr. Tim Pachote. Tim, thanks for taking the time here. Lots of links in the show notes. Make sure you go check them out so you can see all of the helpful links from this interview. Badco.in/346. is where you're going to find those show notes to go do those.
And it was great talking with TM. Always enjoy chatting with him. That was really nice. I don't even know who Fortune Feimster is. She's pretty hilarious. She was on one of those Last Comic Standing shows, and her Instagram is always full of pretty funny stuff. She's got a Netflix show coming in a couple of months, going to be live, but she has this character, and her husband's name's Tim.
Okay.
Tim Pochett.
Okay.
Tim.
Still okay. Hey, Travis, tell our listeners about our wonderful sponsor, who we like a whole lot.
Very nice. Yeah, eToro. So if you are looking to score yourself some, check this out. We got a deal with eToro going where you sign up on badco.in/eToro, and we send you $25 worth of Bitcoin. But why would you want to do eToro? Well, because it's the world's number one social trading platform. You can also test your trading strategies. They'll give you $100,000 worth of play money to play around with on the market. And you can copy successful traders. You can see who's doing good stuff, who's killing it, and you can copy their trades exactly. And they were finally in the U.S. Like, for years, they couldn't come to the U.S. because of regulations and whatnot. And there's still a couple states where they're not available, but most states, they are over 40, I believe, 42 maybe. But anyways, check it out, badco.in/eToro, and build your crypto portfolio today-o.
Excellent. And we send out those $25 in Bitcoin pretty regularly. So if you haven't done that yet, this offer is not going to last forever. I don't know when we're stopping it, but it's not going to last forever. And so what are you waiting for? I mean, $25 in free Bitcoin.
This is as good as it gets, folks.
Duh. Unless we decide to give away $26 in free Bitcoin. But we're not doing that.
But we're not doing that.
That's not happening. Thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate you guys. As always, there's so much great content coming up, especially with the holidays. You know, we're knee deep in it and there's travel coming up. So we're pre-recording a lot of interviews. So I can tell you now with absolute certainty that the content that we're bringing your way is powerful stuff. You're not going to want to miss an episode. You're going to want to take us with you on your holiday vacation. You're going to want to take us with you for New Year's Eve. And while they're doing the countdown, try to match the opening to a show with the countdown of the ball dropping 5, 4, 3. And so when the ball drops and everybody goes, yay, happy new year, it goes, who's bad?
It does do that.
Right, like that. So what else do we want to say, Travis? We haven't heard from, we need some phone calls. We miss the sound of your voices.
That is true. We've not heard you guys in a while. In fact, it's been so long, I don't even know that I remember the number.
I remember the number. That number is 708-885-9030. The Bad Crypto Hotline is open 24/7. You can call and tell us whatever you want to tell. I mean, you can leave a testimonial for how much you like the show. You can leave a testimonial for how much
Christmas message.
How much you hate the show. Leave us a Kwanzaa message. That would be great, too. A Hanukkah
Joel, message. You can do a Hanukkah message for Joel.
Yeah, leave me a Hanukkah message. Oh, you have to hurry, though, because Hanukkah's just starting now. And
hurry.
You can ask a question. You can tell us to stay bad. You can tell us that you want us to forward a message to John McAfee, and we won't, but you could tell us you want us to. 708-885-9030. Please give us a call.
There was Crypto Furious. I haven't heard of him for.
I don't know. I think
that Billy Jim Bob guy. What was his name? He called in. That was hilarious. We had some funny, funny people call into the show. Maybe we need to do another one of those. Hey, I tell you what, sometime in the start of the year, we'll do another one of those fan appreciation shows where you guys can call in, and then we'll, because that was so fun listening to folks doing like little interviews with, I think we did like what, 8 interviews one day with folks, with fans of Bad Cryptopia.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
That was great fun. Yep, we're going to do that again. I think also we'll do a crypto roulette, especially since there's so many new cryptos that are even in the top 100 that we don't know, where we pick some random cryptos and just on the fly research them and tell you what we see.
That's true. Talking tokens with Travis and Joe's.
Hope the holiday season is being good to you wherever you are in this green earth that we live on, except where it's not green, because some places it's white because there's a bunch of ice, like Greenland, as Travis can attest to. And until next time, please to stay bad.
Who's bad?
The Bad Crypto Podcast is a production of Bad Crypto LLC. The content of the show, the videos, and the website is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. It's not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, or trading advice of any kind. You shouldn't make any decisions as to finances, investing, trading, or anything else based on this information without undertaking independent due diligence and consultation with a professional financial advisor. Please understand that the trading of Bitcoins and alternative cryptocurrencies have potential risks involved. Anyone wishing to invest in any of the currencies or tokens mentioned on this podcast should first seek their own independent professional financial advisor.